gospel lesson on this Sunday in Lent is John 12, 20 through 23. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. It's a pleasure to be with you, good folks, in Chippewa Falls again on this second day of spring, and what happens to be also the 336th anniversary of Johann Sebastian Bach's birth. Yeah, his birth. Someday I hope to tune in to your worship service and hear that wonderful track organ of yours. Perhaps a Sherry or your other organist will play something from Bach for us. And Linda, if you let me know when if that's going to happen, I'll certainly tune in. Well, would you join me in a prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had good intentions about doing something and somehow never got around to it? One of those intentions is right above me in my study, which is a mess. And I've been telling myself, as long as I probably lived in this house, that I'm going to clean it up. Hasn't happened. Or perhaps you knew you were going to, well, you wanted to just lose that 10 pounds. And somehow another holiday comes around, and then there is that early Easter candy, and just doesn't happen. Or perhaps you had good intentions this Lent. Well, because of COVID, we don't go to special Lenten services, but yeah, I could be doing that special Lenten devotion, but somehow it hasn't happened. Well, we could go on, couldn't we? Think of all sorts of things about which we had good intentions. Jeremiah knew the problem. Ancient Israel knew the problem. For years, people had attempting the latest self-modification programs. They knew about the one true God, but the idols of their neighbors, well, were so comforting in some ways, and they were used to them. And, well, what were they to do? They didn't want to go upsetting them. And they knew they had to keep the Sabbath day holy, but there were those chores to do. And if you were poor then, You couldn't ignore them. Fine for those rich folks. They could have somebody else do it for them, but And it wasn't for lack of rules. There were plenty of rules. Just look at the book of Leviticus. It's full of them. Rules about everything. But somehow, all these outward pressures and rules didn't take hold, and the people of Old Testament Jerusalem were in trouble. In fact, a great and powerful military, mighty kingdom called Babylon had come in and taken over Jerusalem. They captured it, and they even destroyed the Holy Temple built by Solomon. Gone. They were in mourning. There's a reason that Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet, because he was there at a time of great sorrow. And he spoke those familiar words, which you heard Linda read this morning. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. There's a phrase that just resonates with me. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. Write it on their hearts. Well, what a difference. Think of the old covenant. The old covenant, which have been given. We talk about the Ten Commandments, don't we? That was part of the old covenant for sure. Obeying laws and all those laws beyond the Ten Commandments that were in books like Leviticus. We have it today. Obeying laws that are put upon us, huh? By the police or by a church constitution or custom, the shoulds and the oughts and the musts of our lives. And of course, there's a certain rebellion against that now, isn't there? Saying, oh, we got to take individual responsibility. Well, there is a problem with living from the outside in. Even though we recognize that sometimes it's necessary. I don't think you'd argue that there should be a law to drive on the right side of the street and that you should go 25 miles an hour in front of my house or your house if you live in the city. It's just something that we accept. Or even, I just finished a book by John Meacham about John Lewis, the great civil rights icon. And John Meacham points out that the integration that John Lewis fought for was made into law. And first, people didn't want to abide by that, but eventually they did. And that law then imposed from outside was internalized to a certain extent, even though we're still dealing with the sin of racism to this very day. The old covenant. But then Jeremiah says, yes, I have this new covenant. In this new covenant, not coming from outside in, but coming from inside out, I would say, intuitively knowing what we should do and then wanting to do it, living life from the heart. Now, often we speak of knowing something by the heart, don't we? Knowing something from memory. If I were a better preacher, I would throw away this script, and I'd know it all in head, have it all here. And in fact, I know of a really good Presbyterian preacher that spent all Saturday just making sure he memorized his sermon. I wasn't that good yesterday, so I've got my notes with me. But it's a challenge, isn't it? That we can allow something to be so much a part of us that we don't have to refer to any rule book or sign that says we do it. We just do it. And that's the kind of society that Jeremiah dreamed of, and a society which all of us, I think, would like to live in. A society, for instance, where all members just pitch in and do what they have to do, and you don't have to be reminded, Jim, it's your turn to do the dishes, and you do it. Or a society in which, for instance, some school students will do a service project, not to earn points for graduation, but simply because they want to do it. Or a society where, yeah, well, we maintain a certain weight and we don't feel guilty about what we are. Or a Lent in which we have an inner satisfaction, an inner urge, and don't have to be harangued by the preacher to observe a better Lent. This is life under the new covenant, the covenant of the heart, the sense of inside out instead of outside in. Perhaps you can remember, as I do, an old but a new movie series, Star Wars. I mean, it came out in the 70s, but there have been new reincarnations of that film just up until, what, a year or so ago. But the original premise was that Obi-Wan Kenobi challenged Luke Skywalker to let the Force be with him, huh? Let the Force be with you, and you're holding that wand, and whoa, you're just one with it, and you do it. And that's kind of what Jeremiah is encouraging us to do. Let the God Force be in us and through us, and we don't think about what we should be doing, but it just happens, and we're one with the Spirit. We sing, we are one in the Spirit, we're one in the Lord, and that's how we feel. In our Judeo-Christian heritage, Jeremiah planted the seed of this idea way back in 587 BC. But then about 600 years later, a guy came along named Jesus. And he took that seed and he brought it to blossom. What did he say? You heard it in our gospel lesson. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Jesus also remembered the words spoken of Jeremiah, because Jesus knew his scripture. And scripture for Jesus was what we call the Old Testament. And so when he sat down with his disciples for what we call the Last Supper, what the Germans call the Abendmahl, when he shared the bread and the wine with them, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. When Jesus spoke the words that I just quoted, he was thinking about his own death. He knew it was coming soon. And so he was the grain of wheat which would die, and then his death would bear much fruit. We Christians, in Lent, we focus on the cross, don't we? That's so important. My neighbor has a cross in their yard to remind us all that this is Lent. Many churches have a what you might call a rough, crude wooden cross to remind us of the suffering of Jesus on the cross, his sacrifice. And Jesus, of course, was talking about his own death, but he was also speaking about more. He was speaking about something that all of us need to do, and that was dying to the self. And that's something that each of us can experience if we are to experience God's law within us, have it written upon our hearts, just as Jeremiah prophesied. When Jesus spoke of dying and eternal life, he was not only speaking quantitatively and individually, but he was speaking qualitatively and collectively. He was speaking of the here and now, just as the sweet by and by. And this is good news for those of us that are alive right now. When both Jeremiah and Jesus tell us that living from the inside out, living from the heart, living by the heart, is what really makes the difference and the only way to live. So if we surrender ourselves to Jesus, just as Jesus surrendered himself to God, then we have a chance of actually changing some of the things in our lives. If we allow the seed to die and then blossom within us as new life, we'll live lives of peace and wholeness and satisfaction and even vision. If we allow the seed of Christ's love to grow within our hearts, we will cease negativism and legalism and the kind of conservatism that says we've always done it that way. And then we'll venture into new areas of ministry, as all of our churches are challenged to do. But this dream, this vision, doesn't come about without a price. Okay, we like to talk in our churches about serving others. One of the churches that I preach at sings the hymn every Sunday, "All Are Welcome." It's kind of aspirational because they frankly have a big debate right now amongst themselves about what the limit of their welcome is relating to gay and lesbian folks. Serving others may be very nice, but don't always do it. Being born again or being born anew is a famous biblical phrase that is bandied about. But all of this demands a death to our fears, a death to "we never did it that way before," a death to old jealousies and hurts, a death to pride. And frankly, that's a thing that preachers have to guard against, even though we like to think ourselves as humble. I'm doing a Bible study right now on Acts, and we're talking about Paul. And we're learning that Paul was really quite a guy. And he also had to remember that "I am human. I'm just humble Paul and not some great Saint Paul," as some churches are named. Walking with Jesus is not necessarily easy. And standing in the ruins of the temple for Jeremiah was no picnic. Rules are not always clearly laid out for us. If everything were so clear, we'd have a society where all work, huh? But yeah, in our churches and our government and society, we've got difficult decisions, partly because we have to decide amongst, various kinds of goods and not so goods. And it's not always this is black and this is white. And that's when we have to use our heads and our hearts together to do something for the good. So we allow ourselves to dream dreams. We allow ourselves to determine objectives, to chart courses, all with a heart. But we're not alone. Jeremiah planted the seed, and Jesus brought it to blossom. And now we're challenged to look into our own hearts and find out what God is saying to us. The seed is there. Or as the theologian Matthew Fox said, yes, there's original sin, but there's also original blessing. There's that seed of blessing that God has planted in each of us. Now our task, of course, is to die to the sin and allow the blessing to grow, to discover and listen with faithfulness to the seed of the Spirit that is growing within each of us as persons of this Christian community called First Presbyterian Church of Chippewa Falls. And we believe with Jeremiah and with Jesus and with a wonderful woman hymn writer named Natalie Sleeth that indeed in the bulb there is a flower. And now on this second day of spring, we're going to hear Sherry play and sing that for us.